Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 12th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Wow, we are live 6 days a week. It is Saturday. It is March the 12th. It's my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday to my daughter. And wow, all kinds of interesting things are going on in the news. Let's start with a recap of yesterday's show, shall we? We had on our guest, Mr. Chris Carlson, who always says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. We discuss all things liberty with Chris, and we talked about the truth about U.S.-funded biolabs in the Ukraine. Ben Swan, truthinmedia.com. Doing a phenomenal job breaking that down. Your mainstream press lied, ladies and gentlemen, said all those who say there's labs in the Ukraine, conspiracy theory. Not true. That's what your media said. Well, that's what your government said as well, but they both got caught lying. There's about 30 labs in the Ukraine. They have bioweapon capability and research and everything else. It's disaster. Now they're forced to admit it because they're afraid Ukraine might go in and, well, get information from the labs that we ought not let them have. What a disaster. But again, this is where your government has lost so much credibility. It's bad enough that they lie and say it does not exist when it really does. Your media, along with government, lying, saying it does not exist when it does. The separation between government and the media should be really sacred. The who, what, when, where, why of a story. The media people should be digging and getting to the bottom of this. We have, many of us in the conservative realms, many of us in the independent media realm, no question. But you know what? The media now is just basically in bed with government, doing government's bidding, helping government lie and deceive and manipulate everywhere. And so the media and the government got caught lying on this. We got the truth out. They first mocked us, said we were conspiracy nuts. Now they're admitting we were right. Shame on all them. Sad part is there will be no accountability, and most Americans still don't even know it. Tucker Carlson literally asks, why is the United States funding biological labs in the Ukraine? But that's those who watch Tucker Carlson, see? The liberals and the Democrats, they're still going to run around and say, oh, that's been all debunked. No. Your lies have now been debunked. Fake news by your mainstream press in bed with the government has been debunked. All right. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the politicians aren't helping either. You could have politicians who have knowledge about this that could get to the bottom of this easily for us. Where did the funding come from for these labs? Answer, well, either black op money or Congress. Now, Congress, do you want to admit that you funded it, or do you want to say it's black op money? And if it's black op money, where does all that black op money come from, Congress? See, you can't have it both ways. But World Affairs Brief, Joel Scowls, in March 4, 2022, does a brilliant job in highlighting the fact that most of the worst politicians are not even really communists or socialists. They're really globalists, ladies and gentlemen, who are using communism or communist ideologies to break down America so they can then come in on the coattails with their more deceptive form of socialism as a solution. Globalism, socialism, communism, it's all the same, but their false solution will be to still talk up freedom and your rights while they push for overwhelming regulations in what is really called Fabian socialism. You own it, but we, the government, control it. That's where we're headed in America. We also talked about the fact that Putin is not our friend. Don't be deceived by his playing to the Orthodox Christians in Russia, building new churches and feigning Christian devotion and the like. In order to gain favor with these religious people, understand, ladies and gentlemen, he's no more Christian than Barack Obama is. You got it? Look, the fact is you don't become a leader of the KGB if you're a sincere Christian. Okay? Both Putin, and all the globalist leaders, they're all masters of deceit, folks. They're not telling you the truth. Okay, so Biden's wrong, Putin's wrong, but don't just think anybody that's a globalist is your enemy and everybody else is your friend, because all the Russian leader wants is his brand of globalism. It's like the Democrats and the Republicans a lot. Oh, man, I reject the Democrats, so therefore I must be a Republican. Those are the good guys, less government guys. Not. The Republicans agreed to $1.5 trillion also. See, Russia and China, ladies and gentlemen, are our mortal enemies. You have to look past the complexities of the current Ukraine-Russian intervention to see it. You got to look at the bigger picture. The building of massive armaments, ladies and gentlemen, and weapons of mass destruction, especially nuclear. These are not defensive weapons, folks, at all, right? They're not for defensive purposes. China and Russia are both waiting to strike America when they're ready. They're just not strong enough yet. They're just not ready. They haven't taken enough of our money and our technology to get it done yet. But they're working on it. They will, ladies and gentlemen, understand the fall of the Soviet Union was indeed a carefully crafted deception. The Soviet Union did not really fall apart. I mean, it did materially day to day so that they could publicly have those appearances. But none of the real dictator thug leaders of these communist nations have stepped down or gone away or, okay? You literally have Vladimir Putin, who everybody says is a Christian, but look, this guy came from the KGB. We cannot trust in the arm of flesh, folks. We cannot depend on these leaders. Oh, my gosh, Barack's going to save us. Oh, my gosh, Donald's going to save us. Oh, my gosh, Putin's the man. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and don't sell your birthright for a bowl of pottage is really the kind of two phrases that come to mind here. We talked with Chris Carlson about Aesop's fables, about the fox and the grapes. The grapes were just out of reach for the fox. And when the fox couldn't get them, eventually it was like, the grapes are horrible. They're probably sour anyway. Rather than acknowledging the failure of the fox, all you do is kind of manipulate the outcome to your own liking. By the way, does anybody know who Aesop really was? Some say it was a real character. Some say it was just a anecdotal, figurative person. I don't know the truth. Some of the interesting fables are educational, thought-provoking. Oftentimes used against us, though, huh? All right. Sometimes the best answer, ladies and gentlemen, is none of the above. So whose side do you pick? Do you pick Putin, Russia's side? Do you pick the Ukrainian side? Some people are going on both sides kind of psychotic-like. I don't want to pick sides. Sometimes the best answer is none of the above, ladies and gentlemen. What I pick is the Constitution, a heavenly banner. That's a speech given and then turned into a book written by the late Ezra Taft Benson, a great book, The Constitution, the Heavenly Banner. That's the way I go. By the way, unless we as citizens of this nation forsake our sins, political and otherwise, and return to the fundamental principles of Christianity and of constitutional government, we will lose our political liberties, our free institutions, and will stand in jeopardy before God of losing our exaltation as well. That was a book called This Nation Shall Endure, written again by Ezra Taft Benson. Really pointing out the solutions. We've got to repent and turn to the Constitution. We've got to be a moral and a religious people. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live with Chris Carlson. Second hour was equally riveting, if you will. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com, his collegiate series and lifelong goal to match to preserve the nation. And we talked with Dr. Scott Bradley about 10 health benefits of laughter. Yeah, children laugh over 300 times a day on the average. Adults only laugh on the average at about 15 times daily. How do we laugh more? At what point did we as a society forget to have laughter as our companion? Anyway, Hank Smith is a podcaster and a public speaker, highlighted this reality and said, hey, we got to laugh more. And we highlighted that, you know, laugh oftentimes is wonderful and good if it's genuine. But if you're kind of a whacked out Kamala Harris type, a Hillary Clinton type, then you laugh at the most awkward times to kind of cover up your incompetence and such. So we talked about both sides of that. Laughter is wonderful. But oftentimes when you hear those nervous laughs or those uncomfortable or those cackles that are weird, it's people who are in over their head. They don't know how to cope, so they nervously laugh, right? We also talked about the deep state, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Congress funds $1.5 trillion in a 2,700-page spending bill, including aid for the Ukraine. Biden will sign it. Now, think about that, folks. We don't have the money for this stuff. 2,700-page bill that was put on the docket 24 hours before they expected to sign it. Nobody could have read it. Even if you divide it up between your staff, 2,700 pages. I mean, even if you had 10 people doing it, you'd have to read 270 pages each just to get it done in 24 hours. But can you really comprehend 270 pages in 24 hours? Not even close. $13.6 billion. In emergency aid for the Ukraine. We are insane. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now. He told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, $1.5 billion spending bill. They've literally thrown everything in the kitchen sink in there. It's out of control. I'm telling you right now. Check it out. House congressional offices will see their budgets expand 21%. Just imagine your budget being increased 21%, ladies and gentlemen. The largest increase since 1996. 106, 116, like in 25 years. But folks, that doesn't mean it's the only expanse. It just means it's the largest expanse since then. They've been increasing their budgets over and over. I mean, just imagine being in charge of just increasing your own budget. How would you like that, Cameron? You're just like, hey, I think I'm going to increase my budget here. He's just like, what? That's what they're doing, folks. It's out of control. Now, the legislation, believe it or not, also includes $1 billion in funding for what's called Israel's Iron Dome defense system. You know about the Iron Dome missile defense system, ladies and gentlemen? I guess it had been held up in the Senate thanks to objections by our good buddy Rand Paul of Kentucky. But they literally put $1 billion in there. Why are we defending Israel? Why are we on the side of the Ukraine? Why are we involved in all these foreign entanglements? I don't get it. Well, Sam, it's immoral to just sit back and do nothing when these poor people are being slaughtered. No, I don't like the slaughter of these people. Don't misunderstand me. But I think when we get involved, it just actually increases the slaughter. Okay, if I really thought getting involved could reduce and stop the slaughter, then I'd be for it. The problem is it doesn't reduce the slaughter. I mean, how long have we have been at war in your lifetime, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, I was born, what, during the Vietnam War? 1967? And we've been kind of at war, or rumors of war, or in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, virtually ever since. You think we're reducing the slaughter? What about the slaughter in our own country due to abortion? So let me get this right, you know, and since Roe versus Wade, not too long after the Vietnam War, right, 1973, and you literally have 60 million deaths only in America due to abortion. But yet we're going to run around the world and say we got to prevent the slaughter there. You know, we got to see, we're crazy. We're not thinking right. These are unjust wars breaching the sovereignty of other nations, ladies and gentlemen. We have no right for any of that. By the way, the IRS is going to abuse you more if you think the economy is giving you grief right now because of gas prices and food prices and rent prices and utility, everything else, right? Well, now the IRS is going to be hiring 10,000 more goons. Yeah, 10,000 workers, they say, to help clear the backlog of over 20 million tax returns that remain unprocessed, the agency says. So let me get this right. The government also says in the same article, they're not going to decrease. No, sir. They're not going to reduce or delay the time in which you have to file. So April 15th is the filing day, right? They're not going to reduce that for you or change that or, you know, delay that for you. No, you got to file on time or penalties are arising. But yet they're literally 20 million tax returns behind from multiple years. Well, somebody ought to sue the IRS and say what's good for the goose is good for the gander, folks. Look, what do you mean you're 20 million returns behind? I've done my part to file. There ought to be a law. There ought to be an obligation that you keep up as well. Otherwise, why don't we just as Americans just get behind as just as much so as the IRS, right? That's kind of what we need to really talk about or drill into, right? Anyway, shame on them, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's so many stories, I don't even know exactly where I ought to start on some of this stuff, right? But there is so much to discuss in the news. I guess I'll start with this story, shall we? Americans are majorly stressed out. 87%. They say mental health has faltered under constant stream of crises without a break since 2020. 87%. Mental health has faltered under constant stream of crises without a break, they say. Now, then the headline, subtitle, if you will, says, you're not alone with that stress headache. No, sir. Feeling stressed out more than you were in 2019, they say? Makes sense, according to a new survey from the American Psychological Association. Do you think they're stable, or you think they've got psychological problems? What do you think, folks? They say that a COVID fatigue is on because America is now grappling with higher prices at the pump, not to mention higher prices at supermarkets, as well as gruesome images from wars overseas. Everybody's being hit with unprecedented levels of extreme stress, reports NBC News. They've got the APA's, that's the American Psychological Association's, annual stress in America poll, right? That's what they're doing. Annually, they want to determine how stressed we are. It was conducted by the association, that's the APA, by the Harris poll between February 7th and February 14th. So it ended on Valentine's Day, don't you know? They surveyed more than 3,000 adults in the United States, and they found that 87% of respondents feel there's been a constant stream of crises without a break over the last 2 years, with 73% acknowledging they felt overwhelmed by it all. Getting more specific, ladies and gentlemen, the poll found that 87% of those surveyed said that a significant percent or source of said stress was because of a spike in prices relating to groceries, gas, and other necessary items and services due to inflation. That top factor was followed by supply chain issues, 81%, vague or global uncertainty, 81%, Russia striking back over the Ukraine or via cyber or nuclear attack, 80%, Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, 80%. Meanwhile, stress about money is at the highest it's been since 2015. Wow. The percentages are startling, said the APA's psychologist, Lynn Bufka, clinical psychologist. They're startling in that so many people are clumped together, sharing the same stressors. Instead of usually they feel stress from a variety of factors unique to their own circumstances. But in this case, it's like being kicked while you're down, Johns Hopkins psychiatrist Dr. Kali Cyrus said, who wasn't involved with the poll at all, by the way. And you think about that and you go, wow. They say the financial stressors and current war in the Ukraine bearing down on Americans right after the exhaustion of 2 years of an extreme pandemic. How are people dealing with this stress, they then ask. So this poll says, hey, everybody's stressed out. 87% of Americans are stressed out, right? Everyone's dealing with this excess stress, this unrelenting stress that nobody can deal with, right? But how are people dealing with the stress? You ready? By drinking booze, man. They say nearly a quarter copped to this coping mechanism. Just drink some booze, man. Other people are just getting fat. I'm in that group. And seeing unwanted weight fluctuations, with nearly 60% saying they either dropped and or gained pounds due to the stress. There's some good news in all this, Cyrus tells NPR News. She goes on and notes that while it may be harder for some than for others, and it might take some time, most people are resilient and actually recover from these temporary stressors like the ones we're facing right now. Now, let me stop you there. I want to know how this bureaucrat, how they know this stressor is temporary. It's very feasible that we could be in a war for quite some time, right? I mean, I hope that these stressors are temporary. But the problem is when you go from one stressor to the next stressor to the next stressor without any break in between, when will it end? How do we know this is temporary? They're talking about the new normal. They're talking about a great reset. They're talking about all these things. And what the heck does that mean when you say it's temporary? I mean, I went for 2 years. It was supposed to be a 10-day, two-week lockdown. No worry, we'll get ahead of the curve, right? Go ahead and flatten the curve and we're good. 2 years later, we think, okay, we're coming out of the COVID. We're good now. Ooh, inflation. Bam, nailed the... Ooh, war with the Ukraine. Will we ever see an end? Quick pause. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
President Biden says Russian President Vladimir Putin must suffer the consequences for his war in Ukraine. The president said Russia will suffer once permanent normal trade relations are axed.
Revoking PNTR for Russia is going to make it harder for Russia to do business with the United States.
More than 75 million Americans across 26 states are under alert for winter weather this weekend. Most of the East Coast states affected have issued winter storm watches or warnings from West Virginia to Pennsylvania before moving through upstate New York and New England. Joe Buck is reportedly leaving Fox for ESPN. The New York Post is reporting Buck will join his longtime broadcast partner Troy Aikman in the booth at ESPN for Monday Night Football, leaving Fox after almost 30 years. Buck will also no longer call the World Series, which he has done since 1996. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
U.S. soldiers continued to deploy to Europe, joining thousands already sent overseas to support NATO allies amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Pentagon has ordered roughly 12,000 total service members from various U.S. bases to Europe, with a couple of thousand more already stationed abroad, shifting to other European countries. Vice President Kamala Harris praised Romania for its ongoing work, accepting and helping refugees from Ukraine.
We stand together in ensuring that we will do all that is required to put resources into the humanitarian piece of this.
The Columbus police officer who shot and killed 16-year-old Makia Bryant last year has been cleared of any criminal wrongdoing, Ohio prosecutors announced. Bryant was killed in April by Columbus police officer Nicholas Reardon as she swung a knife at a young woman. Special prosecutors argued that deadly force was justified. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is shocking. So we talked about this massive stress going on. They say it's temporary, but I say, how do they know, you psychologists and psychiatrists? How do you know that? We thought the curve, to flatten the curve, was temporary. Take, 10 days, 2 weeks, no problem. We got this. 2 years later, the cocoa is abusing us. Now we're finally coming out of the cocoa, but not really. Because they want you to believe that you got to have a vaccine still, and you got to have a vaccine card, and well, they're not going to force a vaccine passport on you because you're starting to get too desensitized to where you don't want to do that, people. And so then they want to do a voluntary, vaccine pass that is already available to 220 million Americans, just so you know. And so anyway, it goes on, right? It's just a little insane, right? This is serious indeed. And I say that these psychologists and psychiatrists and all these people, ladies and gentlemen, they don't know that it's temporary, because we went from that big flat in the curve then to, well, we're not really all the way out of the COVID. And in any moment, by the way, the COVID could come roaring back, don't you know? And all it would have to be is just a mutated cocoa coming on back, and boom, we'd be right back in the middle of the cocoa concern, right? Instantly, if a deadly version, a deadly strain just started kind of rolling, instantly there'd be masks and lockdowns and forced vaccinations, and then go on steroids. That's available to the deep state at any time to abuse you and I even further, right? But if that's not enough, then all of a sudden you get higher inflation. You get potential war. I mean, is it going to be World War III? That's what Joe's kind of saying. Oh, man, it might be World War III if we don't back off a little bit. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why you're so stressed, right? I might be able to help you with this. It turns out that a torrent of $5 trillion with a T. I can't even understand what a trillion dollars is. I really, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, can't even understand what $1 billion is. And come on, I've been at this 25 plus years and more on your radio. And every time I say I can't understand $1 trillion, people try to explain it to me. But that doesn't help a bit. They're like, Sam, if you stack a dollar bill, 20 feet high, and, there's a picture of a warehouse or something, and it's as far as you can see. Or, Sam, if you stack the dollar bills up, they'd go all the way to the moon, or whatever they want to say, whatever. And those examples I gave you aren't accurate. I'm just illustrating to you. These things don't help me understand what $1 trillion is. It just shows that it's so much it's beyond comprehension is all that it clarifies to me. But what it means and paying it back and all those other realities, that's where my mind goes. And I challenge anybody to really get my arms around it. You can't. Right? You can't even kind of comprehend it is what I'm saying to you. Well, anyway, it turns out that a torrent of $5 trillion dollars flooded the economy. And then they say, here's where it went. New York Times with this, by the way. Wow. They say stimulus bills approved by Congress beginning in 2020 unleashed the largest flood of federal money into the economy ever recorded. Now, do you understand the ramifications of that? And then we're surprised when inflation rears its ugly head? What? Yeah, I kid you not. They say roughly $5 trillion went to households, mom and pop shops, restaurants, airlines, hospitals, local governments, schools, and other institutions around the country grappling with the blow inflicted by COVID-19. Do you believe that, folks? No, I don't believe that. Right? Grappling with the blow inflicted by COVID-19. I don't think so. I think it's with the blow inflicted by government's response to COVID-19. It's not COVID-19 that required government to send out all this money or that required me to need all this supposed money. It was the shutdown of businesses by government. It was the destruction of the supply chain perpetrated by government, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not misplace this and say Congress spent a gazillion dollars, more money than ever in U.S. history, more socialism, more redistribution of wealth by government, which produces nothing, by the way. Let's not pretend that's the cause. That, oh man, it was just COVID. Government's the benefactor to help us all survive it. No, that's the lie. It's government that perpetuated the abuse and the crime. They say economists largely credit these financial jolts with helping the U.S. economy recover more quickly than it otherwise might have from the largest downturn since the Great Depression. They say the pandemic recession, believe it or not, was the shortest on record, lasting only really 3 months. They lie. They say what the money did was to basically make sure that when we could recover, reopen, if you will, people had money to spend, their credit rating wasn't ruined, they weren't evicted from their place of residence, and their kids weren't going hungry, said Louise Shiner, an economist with the Brookings Institution. it's a lesson that if you don't want a recession, if you don't want to have really long-lasting bad effects, what you do is you spend a bunch of money and you prevent it. See, but this is where these economists are just absolutely ignorant of the truth, absolutely void of any intelligence. You can't prevent it, folks. All you can do is delay or manipulate it. What do I mean? Well, let's say we spend $5 trillion and the national debt leaps. Do you think you never have to pay it back? You think you can just print this money and it somehow just boom, poof, magically enters the economy and there's no repercussions to that action? Ladies and gentlemen, it creates a massive moral hazard like you have never seen before. It puts us in financial possible ruin down the line. It forces the next generation to pay for today. Do you understand that, economists? They say yet is the anniversary of the American Rescue Plan approaches, and nearly 2 years after the fact, after the government effort began, ladies and gentlemen, the CARES Act, the full impact of the spending remains unclear, they say. That's right. What does it mean when it's unclear? Well, it means they spent the money and they don't really know what the repercussions are. You want to know how I know they don't know what the repercussions are? Because they've never spent this kind of money before, ever, in America's history, ever. So they don't know what the other end of that's going to look like. It's kind of like the vaccine, experimental vaccines. They have no idea on the other end the effects, the negative effects that'll be had on the body. They can't, because they've never had these mRNA experimental gene therapies masquerading as vaccines before. They say some of the money is yet to be distributed. Yeah, you still got money coming, baby. Do you like that? I don't. Some of the aid has been criticized as wasteful or has resulted in fraud. Oh, you think? Wow. These people are just flat out ignorant, folks. Some economists, along with a lot of other Republican lawmakers, say the flood of cash has helped fuel the inflation. So do you get it now? They're already blatantly admitting that their moral hazard that they've created is already causing problems. In other words, these problems aren't just kicked the can down the road so far you can never see it. They just spent $1.5 trillion more. That's in addition to the $5 trillion, I might add. To go ahead and kick the can down the road on the economy. That'll help us keep the government open until September, they say. And you think there's going to be no repercussions? Inflation's at our door, and it can only get worse. They say, here's a snapshot of where all the money's gone so far. According to what they call the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. What the heck? A committee for a responsible federal budget is going to tell you where they belligerently spent $5 trillion. They call it a nonpartisan think tank. Hang tight. They lie.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. There's so much to cover in there, so much to think about, so much to be concerned about, right? No wonder people are stressed to the gills, to the max, right? No wonder people are just overwhelmed by it all. But, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the stress that we're all pointing to is really caused by the government. Okay? They want you to believe it's caused by the pandemic. And the government's like your savior in this. Not true in my humble view, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lie. Okay? Americans are majorly stressed out, 87%. Food, inflation, stability, war, COVID, everything. And they say it's temporary, but we have no evidence of that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't see that we have any evidence at all that it's temporary. In fact, I would submit to you that by design, listen, by design, ladies and gentlemen, it's not temporary, it's intentional. A torrent of $5 trillion flooded the economy. Congress unleashed the greatest amount of federal money into the economy ever recorded. Roughly $5 trillion, they say, went to households, mom-and-pop shops, restaurants, airlines, hospitals, local governments, and schools, not to mention institutions throughout the country. Wow. They say grappling with the blow inflicted by COVID-19. See, I think that's the lie. The blows inflicted by government. Let me give you kind of evidence of this. They say using government sources, the tally factors in spending, as well as loans. Because that's another thing. Everybody's got how much loans, right, to your government with interest. They call it tax breaks and payment deferrals. You think payment deferrals are going to be good? They say, all right, how much went to individuals and families in this? $1.8 trillion. Between March and July 2020, right? They call it at the height of the deadly first wave outbreak. Unemployed workers were able to get $600 per week from your government on top of what their state normally provides in, quote, jobless aids. Self-employed and big workers who would typically not qualify for unemployment benefits were also available to receive such support. Another big chunk of money went to families, they say. More than 150 million households received stimulus checks, and about $62 billion was ultimately spent in that effort alone. They called it expanding the food stamp program, known as the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. They also call that SNAP. Yes, SNAP, we're in debt to the gills, right? They say the nearly $2 trillion that went to help these groups help them avoid the kind of economic collapse that many had feared. And they say it aided the recovery by giving consumers money to spend. on food, electronics, home furnishings, and other goods. They say it also helped prevent millions of people from falling into poverty. A University of Michigan study, they call it an analysis of Census Bureau survey data, found that the largest benefits went to the poorest households and those with children. Now, in addition to complaints that Biden's stimulus money contributed to inflation, Republican lawmakers and governors blame the more generous jobless benefits for discouraging people from returning to the workforce and creating a labor shortage. You see, every time government gets involved, there's repercussions down the road that are like, whoa, wait. Several states ended the program ahead of its September 5th expiration. That was last year. And they thought that would propel people back into the workforce. A handful of studies, though, have found that the extra benefits played minor role, if any, in prolonging workers from joining back into the workforce or to the labor market is what they call it. The U.S. economy, ladies and gentlemen, has gained, they say, more than 90% of the 22 million jobs that were lost during the early weeks of the pandemic. They say businesses, 1.7 million more, generally, they say those with 500 employees or fewer. See, that's how they define a small business. I don't. That's a huge business, 500 employees. But in your government, it's small, right? They say sometimes all this need turned into loans, right? The government provided loans, EIDL loans and the like. The loans could be forgiven if businesses use the money for certain expenses, essentially turning the loans into grants, if you will, right? When the program began in April 2020, it was largely considered a worker retention tool, right? But as the pandemic went on, Congress weakened those requirements, allowing companies to keep the cash even if they made deep staffing cuts. So at first it was like, well, you get all this money if you don't cut any employees. But, well, then even after deep cuts, they still let you keep the money. The government also adapted its, quote, long-standing disaster program to provide low-interest loans to almost 4 million businesses, totaling $349 million, far larger than the program during the program's entire 70-year history. Do you understand what I'm saying? They gave out more money during the pandemic than this loan program that's been around for a long time, this disaster loan, gave out in its 70-year history. They say because those loans will be paid back with interest, right? They say the programs that are the cost of taxpayers is far less than the programs actually lent out. Was it successful, you may ask? So far, they say the verdict is mixed. Wow. We don't even know if it's successful after we literally spent $5 trillion plus dollars. Recent analysis by the economist Michael Dalton found that every dollar in wages that it would have been lost without the Paycheck Protection Program literally cost $4.30 or $4.13 in relief money. So every dollar benefit costs literally four plus times that to even make happen. Why? Because the program wasn't narrowly targeted. Virtually every small business in the country was eligible. It benefited some companies that didn't really need the money. And loose fraud controls allowed scammers to skim off billions of dollars. But for hundreds of thousands of businesses, they say it was a life preserver. But think how many businesses failed in spite of it all, right? Mr. Dalton's research found the companies that got PPP loans had modestly higher employment and higher wages and were less likely to close than comparable businesses that didn't take the stimulus money. The smallest businesses were affected the most, and the ones that were in the highest poverty rates were affected the most. State and local now, listen, $745 billion at the outset of the pandemic. Governments used the funds largely to cover what they call virus-related costs. But as the months dragged on, they found them covering unexpected shortfalls created by the pandemic. See, a lie again. The pandemic didn't create shortfalls. Government's response did. But they say including lost revenue from parking garages and museums where attendance dropped off. Why do you think attendance dropped off, folks? Because your government said you couldn't go anywhere. That's why, right? They also funded longstanding priorities, such as upgrading sewer systems, not to mention other infrastructure projects. K-12 schools, for example, used funds they got early on for the transition to remote learning. And they also received $122 billion from the American Rescue Plan that was intended to help them pay salaries, facilitate vaccinations, and update ventilating systems. Remember, because you got to have clean air, right? Their goal, of course, was to reduce the virus's spread with that money. Did it work? I don't think so. They say at least 20% was required to be spent on students to help them academically recover from the pandemic, right? Well, not all the state and local aid has been spent yet, right? The scope of the funding has been expansive to the point where it's hard to even know where the money went or track it or understand its role. For example, Utah, the state that I live in, set aside $100 million for water conservation as it is experiencing drought conditions. Texas has designated $100 million. What are they going to use theirs for? I guess to the Bob Bullock Texas State Museum in Boston. $9.4 million is where the San Antonio School District is going to increase compensation for teachers, increasing what they call staff compensation, giving all permanent full-time employees a 2% pay raise, and lifting minimum wages to $16 an hour. Anyway, the story just goes on and on and on. Several states have used up their whole share of the money so far, even as the stress points say they're still in need. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just absolute insanity. And I bring it up, and then they say, oh, Sam, you don't understand economics. And my response is, they're blatantly admitting to you, ladies and gentlemen, that they don't understand what the repercussions will be either. I know this. You cannot manipulate value dishonestly and expect it to go well. There's always repercussions you haven't counted on. Write that down and remember who told you first. Sad tale to tell in America, ladies and gentlemen, but because of our moral hazard, financially speaking, it's only going to get worse. God save the Republic!